I think it's kind of just I can't get too excited because then I'll probably get some nerves, and I can't be not too excited because then I probably won't play how I want to play.
He is the youngest player there, and you just never know sometimes, right? So the one thing he keeps mentioning is how amazing everyone is to him. So that makes me feel good because my little boy is not home and he's in Montreal on his own. So
my first thoughts on the start of the summer, I don't want to go back in the AHL. So my goal was set and everything was ready too. So I was happy about my camp, and now we need to erase everything I did and just redo it and start from day one.
A hard team to play against is by minimizing, you know, teams' scoring chances, by taking away time and space, and by us, you know, being on top of the puck all the time. And we want to be as good a puck possession team as we can be by getting it back quickly and then also managing it well when we have it. And that's what the hard teams to play against are all about, and that's what we're trying to accomplish.
We have to continue to work as a defensive core, working on a defend first mentality, because everything is going to extend off that. But I like the way he jumps up to play. I like the way he adds to the attack, and because of that, he's getting rewarded. He's putting in positions where he's got an opportunity. So hopefully, he can make the best of it.
Welcome back, Melnick in the afternoon on game night, less than 2 hours away from puck drop. Montreal and Buffalo, Victor Mete, his mom Mary Mete on the air with Tony Marinaro earlier today on the Montreal Forum. Charlotte Hudon, Claude Julien, Phil Housley makes his head coaching debut tonight behind the bench of the Sabres, talking about Nathan Beaulieu. Let's go.
It's an exciting time of year, and even just guys, you know, going out to dinner last night and guys, you know, checking the scores of games. It was... It's crazy that it's already starting again, but at the same time, game one always feels the same. It's an exciting time of year, like I said, not just for us, for the entire league, and just happy to be playing again.
Hockey insider Pierre Maguire, brought to you by Ye Olde Orchard Pub, with 6 locations in and around Montreal. YeOldOrchard.com.
In Pittsburgh last night for the raising of the banner and a great hockey game on opening night. He's in Detroit for the new arena in Detroit, Little Caesars, and the Detroit Red Wings match up tonight. Pierre Maguire, how you doing?
I'm good. They've laid down the gauntlet here in Detroit. There are a lot of great buildings in the league. Montreal's one of them. Toronto's another one of them. The new Madison Square Garden is another. You know, this one I think is going to have a hard time for other people to measure up to. This is off the charts here. If you're a hockey fan, you have to make a pilgrimage here just to see the building. What a job they have done. I know they're playing basketball here. I know they're doing tons of concerts here. This is a hockey first building. It is very similar to the Bell Center, but it's just the revenue streams here and the things to do are insane. It's awesome.
Things to do? What do you mean, like? What?
Well, like just celebrate the history of hockey. You know,
oh, cool.
You're looking at Gordie Howe, you're looking at Ted Lindsay, you're looking at Terry Sawchuk. I mean, it's a lot like Montreal that way. I mean, Montreal is the mecca for that, celebrating the history of the franchise. These guys have kind of accepted the torch and kind of run with it. They've taken it to another level.
Pierre, we mentioned off the top of the show a couple hours ago that, you know, it is one game out of 82, but there is something special and unique about game one of the season, and in particular teams that have designs on going for a long run in the spring. You want to see some statements right out of the gate. We certainly saw a few of those last night.
Well, Toronto, I think I've been warning you for a while. Toronto made a big statement, and Austin Matthews and Patrick Marleau, the rest of the league,
Pierre, new rink, but we're having a bad connection. Here.
I warned Rod. This is going to be
this is challenging.
Trials and tribulations. Yeah.
Okay, right there where you are right now is good.
I am not moving. I am positioned here, and I told Rod that I'm not going to move.
All right. Anyways, I want to know specifically what you were thinking when you got to see this.
All over and breaking away is Connor McDavid barreling down the right hand side to the net. Rick shot, score. High glove on Mike Smith, and Connor McDavid has scored both Edmonton goals tonight. That one, a beautiful end-to-end rush.
And he got the hat trick in the empty netter. But that goal, everybody's talking about that goal last night.
No. The defenseman there, he can skate, man. He can skate.
TJ Brody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He can really skate. So you saw what Connor can do. What was I thinking? I was thinking Pavel Bure. I was thinking Timu Solani. I was thinking Mike Gartner. I was thinking some of the fastest, Guy Lafleur. I was thinking some of the fastest players that have ever played, and what they were able to do with open ice. But I was thinking that, you know, I was thinking just the phenomenal display of athleticism and speed. And he's as good as there is right now. I mean, he's really, really special.
Jaromír Jágr said today that it wouldn't surprise him if McDavid scored 100 goals. He said it's possible.
I don't know. I mean, Jaromír is as good as there was when it came to manufacturing offense. He would understand that concept far greater than I would. I just think 100 is tough because game plans evolve, and you'll see they'll start taking away some of his tools. That's just how it evolves. I would say I could see him score a goal a game. I could see him scoring 82. I don't know about 100. 100 would be, that'd be pretty rich.
Show you a little bit of what happened here in pregame. A little funky, because during the banner raising, out came the St. Louis Blues about 40 seconds before the banner got to the top. Looks like something that Keith Jones to Jeremy Roenick might do. A little cheeky, don't you think?
Can't put a stick on Crosby down low. That's going to be really tough for defensemen around the league, Mike. Think about it when you played. If you couldn't put a stick on a guy down low and he had the creativity and strength of Crosby, you'd be in trouble as a matchup defenseman.
I wouldn't be able to play in the league, Pierre. This is they have been conspiring against defensemen for the last 10 years, I think. Unfairly so.
Oh, my.
So if you didn't get to see the game last night, subbing for the ailing Eddie Olczyk is Mike Milbury. So you got Milbury and McGuire on the same broadcast at the same time for NBC Sports. How'd you enjoy it?
It was Pittsburgh-St. Louis. It was star power on both sides. I know we talked about St. Louis being better than what a lot of the pundits think. They proved that last night. There was a lot of good stuff in that game from both teams. Sidney was ready to go. Sidney and Gensel and Sheary were fantastic. Letang was outstanding in his first game back in a long time. There's a lot to like on both those teams. The fact that Pittsburgh was able to get a point out of that was pretty dramatic, considering how St. Louis was dominating most of the third and good portions of the second period.
Back in comes Pietrangelo. Toe drag and a shot score! Off of Matt Murray and into the net, and the Blues have won in overtime.
That's how it ended last night. Pittsburgh's right back at it in Chicago tonight.
Which is going to be interesting because you've got an entire team that had to play late. I bet you, even though there was time zone travel, an hour difference, probably didn't get to the rooms till 3:30 Central time last night because it was a late finish in Pittsburgh because of the banner going up. So we'll see, but I saw a lot of good things from Pittsburgh. I think the big thing coming out of Chicago, the different defense. You know, there's Nicholas Jalmerson's not there. They obviously will miss him a lot. Seabrook's a year older. Keith's a year older. Johnny Oduya's moved on, obviously, up to Ottawa. So they've got some different parts that'll be on defense. That'll be one thing to watch. And how does Nick Schmaltz handle being a second-line center? That'll be another thing to watch. I think Chicago's going to be a very good team. I know a lot of people don't think they're going to be as good. I think they're going to be very good.
Pierre, we heard from both coaches for tonight in Buffalo, Claude Julien, explaining you know, what kind of team he likes to have, likes to coach. And Phil Housley, who's making his debut as a head coach in the NHL, a guy you know very, very well. Give us your own little snapshot here of these two teams entering the game tonight.
Well, you're going to see a different Buffalo team. You're going to see a Buffalo team that's definitely going to try to push the pace from the back end. So you have to pay attention, obviously, to Nathan Beaulieu. I don't think Bogosian's playing tonight. I believe he's heard talking to their management team the other day. They weren't sure if he was going to play or not.
That's correct.
Rasmus Ristolainen and is big time good. He has really improved under Phil Housley and will continue to do so. Jake McCabe is one of those guys that can also accelerate the pace of the game from the back end. And they're expecting really big things out of him. So I would say that's the one thing to watch for from Buffalo that maybe you're not used to seeing, is that they're going to try to accelerate the pace from the back end, a little bit of Nashville-styled hockey. And Phil, obviously, was one of the better defensemen when he played in the league at doing that. Montreal, I would just want to try to take the spirit out of them very quick. I'd want to get off to a start where there's not a lot of turnovers, there's a lot of puck domination, and my forwards can try to draw penalties and get the power play going to work against Buffalo.
Mitch?
Pierre, you know, there was a lot of talk about Montreal maybe being interested in Marco Scandella this summer, and he ends up in Buffalo. We're going to see him on the second pair. You were just talking about all the defensemen, and I'm wondering how you think he fits in with what Buffalo is trying to do with Phil Housley and how he's going to adapt to moving from Minnesota, where he spent his entire career, to Buffalo.
They really didn't want to move him out of Minnesota. They really didn't Marco in Minnesota. Blair Mackenzie is one of my best. And he's heavily involved in the player personnel department there. He's an amazing hockey man. He's a great person. They didn't want to move Marco, but they got a deal that was pretty appetizing to them, where they were able to, you know, get Marcus Foligno, who they thought would really help him in a central division that's very physical, especially in the forecheck, and a Tyler Ennis, who they think could help them a lot on the power play. So I understand why they made that deal. They've got some young guys starting to come through their system too. Mike Riley's one of them, a kid who was an All-American at the University of Minnesota, who's got a chance, obviously, to play for the big team now. So that's why he was moved. But I can tell you this, from having talked to the Buffalo Sabres management, they've had to try to tap down Marco's enthusiasm because he's coming off of some surgery and injury, and they think he's had a great camp. They're really, really excited about him, and they see him as one of the leaders of their team.
You know, one of the things you look for a team that is growing, that is young, is, you know, who's not in the lineup on opening night. And this is an indication that Josh Georges and Matt Molson can't get in tonight, that how much better the Sabres figure to be.
They're going in a different direction. Both those players are not speed quotient-type players, and that's they're trying, as I said to you before, push the pace of the game, both the forward position and at the back end. Eventually, both those players will play. They have no issue. I can tell you this, and I say it with a clear conscience, they have no issue with either player and how they conduct themselves and how they do their business. It's just that they want to go in a different direction. I think your point is excellent, Mitch. You can see what teams are trying to do when they do that with veteran players. It means they're trying to change the dynamic and the perception of their team.
Just want to ask you about something that Claude Julien said this morning, Pierre.
Plekanec's one of those guys that I think has really benefited from having a young guy like Hudon on his left wing, and he's had a great camp. So we're hoping that that effect of bringing some young guys in and guys that are we feel are ready to go right now is a good sign for a hockey club.
Now, talking about kind of the effect that Plekanec could feel playing with Hudon, you've told us often about how younger players can provide a boost of energy to some experienced veterans, especially late in the year. But can that effect also be prevalent early in the season when you look at some of the young players that are getting a chance here in Montreal?
No question. I'm going to paraphrase the late great French Ricky. I much prefer youthful enthusiasm to the nonchalance of old age. And I think when you have youthful enthusiasm, you've got guys that don't take things for granted, and they want to push, and they want to listen, and they're a captive audience, and everybody feels that energy, and they kind of get better because of that.
Something else that Claude Julien told us yesterday, Pierre, it was Rod who asked the question. I've been thinking about this all summer.
You know, I have a lot of respect for my coaching staff. I think when you look at J.J. Daniel, Dan Lacroix, and Kirk Muller, those guys have all played in the NHL. They've all been in the coaching for quite a while. There was some good experience there, but also there was some good chemistry. So to answer your question, for me, there was no reason at all to make that change, and I felt like those guys were definitely, you know, in sync with me, and so I saw no need for that.
Pierre, it is kind of odd, right, when a veteran proven coach comes in and inherits a staff that eventually in the offseason he'd bring in one of his own people?
I think I'm going to take him at his word, but I'm also going to tell you this. It was a very funky offseason for a lot of staffs, because you saw a lot of coaching staffs get replaced. So there were different people going to different spots. I was just talking to Bob Woods. Scott Stevens, I'll use that as an example. Scott Stevens left the Minnesota Wild, and Bob Woods was brought in. He's worked with Bruce Boudreau forever, whether it was in Mississippi in the East Coast League or in Manchester in the American League or Hershey or in Anaheim, and now in. So that's one example. There were tons of guys moving around. It was a hard year to really hire top-end assistants because there was so much fluctuation in the market.
Claude Julien's old team, the Bruins, opening up at home to Nashville tonight. No Bergeron or Backes or Torrey Krug. And the Predators have a kind of familiar-looking third pair of defensemen named Alexei Yemelin and Yannick Weber.
Yeah, I saw that. That's going to be neat. They'll be comfortable playing in Boston. They've been there enough. PK will be, too. PK loves going to Boston. Obviously, for Boston, it's just early on, but I still... he's going to be outstanding for the Boston Bruins, and I think they've got a lot of good spot in Boston. The future for the franchise is very, very bright.
I don't know who you just mentioned because you just broke up there just for a second.
Anders Bjork.
Okay, yeah, Anders Bjork.
Out of Notre Dame. Tremendous.
Right. Because I was wondering about Jake DeBrusk, who's playing alongside Krejci and Pasternak.
Jake is really... Jake is somebody they're counting on to be more of a point getter and scorer than maybe just an overwhelming physical presence. So I can tell you this. The two best players at the Bruins rookie camp, and I was there this summer, one is still at Harvard, Ryan Donato, and he'll turn pro after the Olympics. And the other one was Anders Bjork. Jake DeBrusk was just a little behind that. But those other two, Donato and Bjork, were off the charts. Like, off-the-charts dominant good players.
All right. Just before we get ready to play, who wore it with a chance to win tickets to see the Canadiens play Arizona at the Bell Center November the 16th? Habs and Sabres in about 90 minutes. What kind of game are you looking for there tonight?
I would expect Montreal want to play to their strengths and get going offensively. I mean, they keep stressing over and over, and they want to be solid in their own zone, and they want to play that zone coverage that Claude's been kind of preaching to the team, and it looks like they've kind of found their way into understanding it. But I would want to see puck domination. I'd want to see speed, and I'd want to see composure from a Montreal team that feel good about themselves after their last two preseason games.
Lot to talk about tomorrow at 5:05. Again, Pierre's watching that new rink in Detroit open up tonight as they host Minnesota. Thanks as always, Pierre. Do it again tomorrow.
I am really sorry for the line, but hopefully this thing ironed out after a few more cruises.